So this is the third week in the series of sermons that I've longed to preach for several years, based on A Christmas Carol by Dickens. And by the way, Paul has a copy, one copy of an annotated version of A Christmas Carol that's out on the book table, and it's a great edition. So if you want to get that, you need to rush out there during the middle of the sermon so you can get it. And Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge, is visited by four ghosts actually, the ghosts of Marley and then his partner, and then the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and the ghosts of Christmas yet to come. But the purpose of the visits is not to haunt him, but it is in fact for his reclamation. 2 weeks ago we saw how our past can keep us in chains, but they can also, our past can also be the key to set us free, to help us enter into the joy of life if we focus on the right things. We're kept in our chains by our past when we can't seem to get rid of past hurts, and they won't let us live the life that God intends for us. They hold us hostage, but God doesn't get tripped up over our past. He isn't frightened by our past. He calls us to come to him in spite of our past. In fact, I would say because of our past. And last week, we saw how living in the precious present can give our lives meaning and significance even when we feel small and unimportant. In fact, God uses the small things of life to do his grand work of redemption. And if we can be like the Cratchit family or Tiny Tim or Joseph and Mary or the little town of Bethlehem and be the avenue through which God brings Jesus to people, our lives have significance. So today we're going to talk about the ghost of Christmas yet to come. More than any other portion of this story, this fictitious story that Dickens has made up in order to talk about real truth, this visitation is about the dark side of Christmas. Scrooge hates Christmas. To love Christmas, he has to change, and he, like most of us, deep down inside, we don't really want to change. Oh, we want to change, but we don't want to change. We want to change, but we don't want to go through the process of change. We want to stay who we are. Truth. Who said that? Good for you. But in A Christmas Carol, the fact is that Scrooge does change. And the fact is that for all who are in Christ, we will eventually be changed. And we'll either be a part of that transformation and change now in this life, or we will experience it completely in the life to come, transformed into the likeness of Christ. So though the first two visitations begin to make a change in Scrooge, it's this third one that really turns the key. The Christmas Carol story starts with a death and leads to a death imagined. Before there is life, there is death, which is just like the real Christmas story. The opening lines of Christmas Carol read this way. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was dead, dead as a doornail. That's the way it starts. The third spirit shows Scrooge what his death might look like, what it would look like if he doesn't change. And what he sees isn't pretty. In the real Christmas story, we read in Zechariah's song in Luke 1:76-79 concerning John the Baptist, these words, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy and love of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the paths of peace." So what we have right embedded in the very beginning of the words of the story of Christmas are the words of darkness and death alongside the words of mercy and love. And if we read on, we find about more death. Herod dealing out death. Death to innocent children who might be the ones spoken of by the Magi and the prophets of old. A real king, not an ersatz king like Herod. And the real story of Christmas does not end in a stable, in a manger. But it ends, if that really can be called an ending, on a cross, on a hill called Calvary. Of course, we know, because we've read the end of the story, that's not really an ending at all. And in fact, it's a precursor to a brand new beginning, something called resurrection, new life, new creation. So what I want to say is, as we celebrate Christmas, as we get all excited about opening presents and in enjoying family and all of that, hidden deep down inside of Christmas, which is in fact a time of light and innocence and hope and joy and peace and love, hidden there is darkness and decay and passion and fear and regret and jealousy and death. I don't know what the statistics are now, but I know when I became a pastor more than 35 years ago, Christmas time was the time of most incidences of depression, because people feel that darkness in this time of light. In Dickens' Christmas Carol, it is love that overcomes all the darkness so that new life can spring forth in Scrooge. So Dickens' little novella ends this way. I'm going to read the last couple of paragraphs. "Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more." He's talking about his transformation. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them, for he was wise enough to know that nothing ever happened on this globe for good, at which some people did not have their fill of laughter at the outset. And knowing that such as these would be blind anyway, he thought it quite as well that they should wrinkle up their eyes in grins as have the malady in less attractive forms. His own heart laughed, and that was quite good enough for him. He had no further intercourse with the spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that truly be said of us and all of us. And this is Dickens' point in the whole story of his Christmas Carol. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. In the real Christmas story, not the fictitious one that's intended to tell us truth, but the real story that brings truth to life, the child born in Bethlehem's stable will end up conquering death. In his own death on a cross, with the power of a black hole, he sucks death itself into oblivion. He will defeat death, and he will come out on the other side of that black hole through resurrection. New life, new creation, transformation. And what happens with Scrooge is a little bit like that, on a smaller scale. He comes through this dark visit with the ghost of Christmas future and comes out on the other side a new man, a new creation, transformed. What caused that change? I believe it was love. I think it was the love that he saw expressed in the family of the Cratchits, and also the love that he didn't see expressed in his own life. I think it was the fear of death, something that he did not want to love. Years ago, I was browsing in a bookstore. This is probably discovered last night, probably around 1989, and I saw a book that looked interesting to me. It had just come out. It's called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So I read it and I loved it, and so apparently did millions and millions of other people. Had a huge impact on me. It became a bestseller, launched a whole industry. And one of the 7 habits is begin with the end in mind. If you not want to know how to live life, begin with the end in mind, which is what the ghost of Christmas yet to come gives Scrooge an opportunity to do. To see what his end is going to look like, and what he sees is not very good. Imagine, Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits, says, if you got to see what Scrooge was shown, what people would say at your funeral. Imagine that. What eulogy would be shared? And decide what it is you would like people to say about you, and then begin now to live into that. Rather than living the way you do now, myopically, you know, just what's in front of you, but live with the end in mind. You see, the ghost of Christmas yet to come gives Scrooge a choice. Will he give himself to a life of love, to love and appreciate his family, to love his neighbors, to love the poor and the disenfranchised, to love humanity, to love Christmas, to love life? In the end, Scrooge is freed from death and the fear of death and was filled to the brim with life bubbling over and overflowing because he chose love. And so you and I, this Christmas, are given the same choice. Will we give ourselves to love? Or will we allow the pressure of this time? And isn't it pressureful? We've got so much to do, so much to accomplish, so many things to buy, so many things to do. We often end up saying things we wish we hadn't said, doing things we wish we hadn't done. Will we give ourselves to love? You know, Jesus said it all boils down to two things, love God and love people. To love God in the midst of the good and the bad. To love God in the midst of the easy and the hard. It's easy to love when it's easy, isn't it? It's hard to love when it's hard. To love people who are lovable, or to love people who are unlovable. It's easy for me to love Nancy. She's lovable. It's not so easy for people to love me because I'm not really lovable. What am I, Bill? Curmudgeon. Which, by the way, the meaning is actually a not unlikable grouch. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 these very familiar words. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. Do we take those words seriously? If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. This is a description of the exact opposite of what Scrooge was like before his transformation. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. I think of people in this congregation who are lovers. Jeff Barnes is a lover. This passage is a description of what Jeff is like. I don't know if it's what he's like at home, but it's what he's like out here in public anyway. It's a description of what he's like. It's a description of what many of you are like. Why? Because you've been captured by the love of God. We are called to love, but not love as an abstract concept, but we are called to love that's been embodied for us, that's come to us. O come, Emmanuel, God with us. Love embodied in a person. The love of God has reached out and come down to us, offering us everlasting freedom, eternal communion, undying hope, bottomless joy, infinite peace, shalom. He offers us himself, God with us, Emmanuel, love incarnate. This morning we sang these words. From God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor, came the Holy Son of God, a little child. From the azure halls of heaven to a lowly manger stall, Jesus came, and here he gave his life for all. Redeeming love, a love that knows no limit. Redeeming love, a love that never dies. My soul shall sing throughout the endless ages the adoration of this great love on high. From a loving heavenly Father to a world that knew him not came a man of sorrows, Jesus Christ the Lord. In my wandering, Jesus found me. See, Jesus finds us. We don't find him. He searches for us long before we ever turn to him. In my wandering, Jesus found me, touched my life with his great love, and this babe has grown to be my sovereign Lord. Redeeming love, a love that knows no limit, redeeming love, a love that never dies. My soul shall sing throughout the endless ages this adoration of this great love on high. Redeeming love, love fleshed out, love embodied. Love God, love people. Love people just as we are loved. Love God because we've been loved. Redeeming love, love incarnated. This might give you a chance to get a picture of how you've been loved by reading 1 Corinthians 13, by putting the name of Jesus in. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus does not dishonor others. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. No record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Even though the name of Jesus is not mentioned in this way in the Christmas Carol, Dickens' Christmas Carol is all about this redeeming love that's experienced among people, through people. In the end, Scrooge, in his transformation, says, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all year. I think that's what we ought to be doing ourselves. We ought to be honoring the Christ of Christmas all year long and keep Christmas in our hearts all year long, not just during this hectic time. How may we do that? I think it's pretty simple, but it's pretty hard. We do it by living in God's love day in and day out, and by loving God's way day in and day out, with our husbands and our wives, with our children, with our parents, with the people that are lovable and the people that are unlovable, the people in this church who are all lovable. Is there not a word of truth there? Come on. Amen. Thank you. And the people in our world. So that we become transformed lives that shine light in darkness. That's what Christmas is really all about. The light shining in the darkness. Life overcoming death. And it happens through love. And then we might be able to say, along with Tiny Tim, God bless us, everyone.